I have noticed in the last couple episodes we have been a little contentious.
All right. I think
Why do I show up at 2:30 and
we're
have to
good.
sit here for 10 minutes
We're
and
good.
watch you?
It's because I like to prepare. Well,
I've been preparing for the last 2 hours. I just told you my Serenity story about taking my earbuds out and going like, okay, it's ready to go. It's 2:30. And then I sit here and I have to watch you. Like, one
you want to
second.
see the magic. You want to see how this works.
I really don't want to see the magic.
Welcome to Know Your Rights, a music podcast from two guys who know just enough about songwriting to start a podcast about.
Follow Rob
and Colton
as each week we dive into a different band or songwriter and discuss what makes them great,
okay, or otherwise.
Music is law,
and we know our rights.
That will be cut. Welcome everybody to a month with the Arctic Monkeys.
AMMF.
That's right. We are on part two of the Arctic Monkeys. Our first time actually taking this type of approach.
We've never done this before, and we kind of fell into this.
Yeah.
So
I kind of blame myself. I really can't wait until we finish this episode. Not because I dislike the Arctic Monkeys, but just because it's been a month of the Arctic Monkeys, and I'm ready for a break after this.
This is the most I think we've listened and talked about a band, like, for an extended period of time since, I think, our first episode, Weezer. Is that true?
Yes.
Because Weezer, our first, like, that was our, like, what do you want to call it? Pilot? I mean, we were greenlit. We decided to go forward.
But I'll go with pilot. That sounds good.
It was a very raw idea still, and we were just like, let's just talk about Weezer. And how many albums does Weezer have? 12? 13?
I'm pretty sure it's right around the 50 area.
That's
or, at least that's how insane. It felt.
And if you listen to that episode again, which maybe don't, but it's not bad. It's not terrible.
I usually, when people ask me, like, oh, you have a podcast, and like, which episode should I start with? And I'm always like, not the first five. Give us a moment to get our sea legs. We're figuring it out.
We kind of, the back end of Weezer's discography, we went, rather not.
Yeah.
For the most part.
I believe you used the exact term, you tapped out.
Yeah.
And there were like three remaining albums after that.
I can happily say these seven Arctic Monkeys records, I don't think any one of them, I came the closest to tapping out in one record of this bunch, but not in a, it really wasn't like an egregious thing. Like none of the records I've listened to have been, like, we've had bands we've loved and we've thought this one record was an aberration. I don't have that here.
I still hold a little bit of a grudge against Humbug, but that is only because, and you and I discussed this after we recorded the previous episode. I think I was more upset with, and I still am, honestly, I haven't gotten over it, is I didn't like the fact that your favorite album, after years of me telling you, listen to these two particular albums, and you decided that the best album was Humbug. It kind of, it made me happy. I got you into Arctic Monkeys in a sense, but we didn't agree on what the best Arctic Monkeys was.
This is the ultimate monkey's paw situation. You wanted to talk to me about Arctic Monkeys so much, and this is what you get. You get Colton talking about how good Humbug. On that note, we have what for this podcast passes for listener mail. Really, it's just a mutual friend that text messaged me. By the way, all friends and family, if you text message us, that will count as mail, and we will potentially bring it up on this podcast. So that's just how that works now. I'm sorry.
So what happened?
I don't even know if I should. I won't name the mutual friend, but they started with an R. R.
So 1B.
I could just say 1B. Other people wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Who I think we both agreed was one of our friends who was a Arctic Monkeys person before us. You brought up in the last episode, I believe.
He essentially got it going for me.
So him and I were texting for something else, and then I randomly called back and I said, hey, we're going to do the last four Arctic Monkeys records. And I can't remember what I think I just said, what is your favorite Arctic Monkeys record? I apologize if that's not exactly what I texted, but it's something along those lines. He said, I got to give it to Humbug. He's like, it was produced by Josh Homme. It's really, really good.
I know he's a Queen of the Stone Age fan.
Doesn't matter whether or not he is. Humbug was the record of all the records. He said that's the one. He said something along the lines of that's the one where the vocals really came into it, and it wasn't like the kind of sugary pop vocals of the first couple of records.
I got you.
I agree.
That's fine. He also chose my Christmas playlist.
Yeah, so he can't be trusted with his
musical can't be trusted,
taste.
But I did come up with the punishment, and I will debut that next episode.
I thought we were going to talk about it.
Oh no, I figured it out, and it's not horrible, but it's fun.
Okay, well,
I'll do it at the end of this episode. I'll let everybody know what the punishment is.
No, now I'm going to be like, if you hear hesitation you're gonna be on in my spot. Voice the whole time, everybody, that's going to be
one of us
my
won.
Fear of this punishment.
One of us won, and one of us didn't. It's don't worry, people don't have to see your face.
Well, that's actually for everybody on record. That's better for everyone.
Actually, no, everybody. It is much more pleasant to see Colton than hear him.
That's right. It's probably true. I don't actually know.
But Hermanson, whatever, Humbug is still their worst record out of all of them.
If I misrepresented those text messages, I can't remember them from memory. But I do know Humbug was brought up.
It is nice to know that you do have text exchanges with somebody named Rob. That makes me feel a whole lot better.
Tattletale, by the way. I'm getting my wife calling up. You always call my wife when I don't answer my text messages.
I called your phone. Your wife answered your phone.
Make
all right,
sure
Coley, this is what she gave me some. Colton's name is no longer Colton when I'm on this podcast. It is Coley.
Coley.
It's good Follow name. Rob and Coley.
And Coley.
I like it, man.
Oh my God. I do think we should get going with our songs of the week. I think you should probably go first.
Okay. I'll go first.
It makes more sense.
Well, absolutely. Cause I think we're repeating from the last episode.
We're flipping it.
A month of the AM.
Is it worth it? You know, we worked it, put your thing down. We flipped it and reversed it.
Flipping to the gym, Jen. I don't know how to do this. But my choice was Adore, Adore, Adore by
Sprint Mobile.
Sprint. Yes. Sprint Mobile, of course.
Sprints is what I see here. With an S.
I thought it was whatever. I didn't think the S was in there. Yeah. But really, I found my way because you sent me the text today telling me what your choice was. And I was like, shit. Yet again, I have no song that I listened to this last week. But we are a Bass-Blown Entertainment podcast.
That's right.
And our dear friend Leo Cardona has a bedroom radio show that he does every Monday. And he played this song on there. And I realized that I can just rely on Leo to give me something new. And as long as I kind of like it, I can just punch it in.
It may be time for us to re-examine this song of the week thing. I think what it's ending up being is both of us on the Sunday that we record going, oh no, we don't have a song of the week.
I think we should keep it going. Because I have a source to give me the newest of the new.
I have not listened to this yet. I'm about to listen to it. But can I ask you, I'm looking at a YouTube comment from 7 months ago. Somebody says it's like Distillers meets Strokes. This is very dope.
Very, very accurate. It's a really cool tune.
That scares me.
The thing that I think you won't like about it is based off of what you said again, previous episode commentary here, is Colton doesn't like anything that has energy, apparently. And this this song has some energy.
I'm gonna hit play right now. Listeners, and join me. Well, you can't listen to the whole song. We'll get sued, but we're gonna listen to it.
We're not getting sued. Nobody's listening. Well, they aren't, at least.
Do you adore me? Am I everything you wish you had? Or am I everything you detest? Do you adore me? Am I everything you wish you had? The taste of my skin on your tongue turned bad. They never call me bad, but beautiful. They only call me insane. They never call me bad, but beautiful. They only call me insane. I live blindly and painful.
definitely has a great kind of Janis Joplin.
You know who it really reminds me of is oh my god, I'm mixing up two completely different people. Courtney Love.
Yeah, I could hear a little Courtney Love.
Yeah, I hear a little bit of Hole in there. I was gonna say Courtney Cox.
Yeah, Courtney Cox.
I can see dancing with Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, but, which is yeah.
But
the thing she did.
I thought it was cool. I like the fact that it is a newer song and it has a little bit of the older sound. That's something I'm liking seeing. I'm liking that, you know, rock music hasn't died.
The older, I mean, I'm not gonna say anything because I'm about to talk about two records that are so purposefully produced to sound retro that
of course
that's just it, which is definitely something. It's hard to not fall into that, right? Mm-hmm. It has such a great kind of nostalgic and it makes everything feel warm. What I heard there, it sounds a lot more Distillers than Strokes. I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, I don't know where the Strokes element came. Even though the Strokes do get brought up on some of the Arctic Monkey stuff. But I thought it was a really cool song. And also, I just wanted to give some Bedroom Radio love there. Just part of the Bassbone family.
We are part of the Bassbone family.
And you know, Leo, help me every other Sunday.
The BBF.
Help me every other Sunday to find my song that I've listened to this week.
Oh, man. Sprints, everybody. So
or Sprint.
Talk to them about a name change. I think I bet you they can't call themselves Sprint because of Sprint Mobile.
That could be the case.
Is that even a thing though? I don't know anymore.
I don't think that's still going on. I don't know.
Like your Nokia phone. I don't know if people have those anymore.
I miss Nokia. I remember actually when I had my Nokia phone, it had like the little tones to each number on the pin pad.
And weren't they just like walkie-talkies?
But I remember, I was about to say your cell phone number out loud. I won't do that to you, but I remember playing your cell phone number and playing, and there was this cool little melody that I never recorded, and I always told you I was going to make a song out of it, and it's never going to happen.
You're bringing me back to that. That was high school, and that's when I had a pager for like 5 or 6 months.
Way to age us, buddy.
That was great. And screw it.
Most of our listeners are from the pager days.
Yeah, I don't think any like Gen Z person's listening is like, what's a pager? But there you go. That's
if you are, I hope you're a fan of what was it? Sprint.
Sprints.
I'm going Sprint.
That's talk about Monkey's Paw. We will play your bands. We're not going to play your bands thing on, but we'll talk about it. But we'll also get your band's name wrong and just keep.
Of course. This is all purposeful, everybody.
So, yeah. I flipped what you had. I thought you had such a good idea last week.
You didn't seem to make it sound like that.
I didn't like it, but.
And it wasn't last week. It was 2 weeks ago. Can we please be on brand?
What am I doing? It wasn't even last week in real life. I don't know what I'm talking about, but.
That's all right.
I have. What did you think of Arctic Monkeys 2013?
It was cool.
What do you really think of that song?
I thought it was cool. I thought it.
I feel like I tricked you. I brought in because I hate it.
You hated it?
I brought it in because I think it's the one Arctic Monkeys song I've listened to. And I can't even take the credit for finding it. It's a B-side, okay. Right?
Yeah, it seemed like it was a B-side for Do I Wanna Know.
Right, yeah. So it's in the AM era. Uh-huh. And every time, because I did my thing where I look at what Arctic Monkeys fans, other people post about the band after I've done my thing.
I will not quote your text message.
Far apart I am thinking.
Yeah.
And this is where I'm in agreement with the majority of the AM fan base, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. With Worst Song, more than enough people brought up 2013. It's something I hadn't heard. And I listened to it. I was really kind of blown away by how bad it was.
I totally don't. I thought it was good. Now, maybe, is there something lyrical that I'm missing?
Well, it's stupid lyrically. Like 2013, okay. All across the galaxy. But also, this is maybe something for us to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Musically with AM, and it's not my worst record, by the way. I want to give things away too, but it's not. Mm-hmm. But I don't know where you fall in AM era Arctic Monkeys with like guitar specifically. Production, somewhat. It's very shiny, very slick. the AM on, or the production on that record.
I suppose. Yeah.
It to me is on the wrong side of so generic of like radio rock and roll that it just kind of everything washes out.
Speaking of being on the wrong side, how about we take this conversation back up on the other side of our commercial, our ads here?
Let's listen to some ads. I'm going to hold my place. I'm bookmarking this stuff.
Don't worry. I have things to say. And I got to pee.
Yeah, go ahead.
You took like 10 minutes to start this damn thing.
If you're looking for fun events, awesome music, and enjoyable podcasts, then look no further. The Baseball Entertainment family has you covered. With so many talented people in our community, it was only right that we not only bring you events, but all sorts of awesome entertainment. Follow Baseball on social media or join our Discord community to stay updated and engaged in everything. That is at Baseblown on social media and discord.gg/baseblown for our Discord. Baseblown Entertainment, bringing you more than just bass in your face.
All right.
Welcome back, everybody.
We're back, everyone.
Welcome back. That's right. Yeah. I didn't forget.
And we've covered this. That is the Mace. Welcome back.
Yes, it's definitely bringing. Not welcome back, Cotter.
So I'm curious because this is going to be our part two Arctic Monkeys discussion. We're doing the final four records, which is Suck It and See, AM, Tranquility,
Resort and Casino, I believe.
Yeah, there's something in between that. Tranquility Base Hotel Casino.
Yes, there you go.
The base is in there. And then the car.
Yeah.
And I think maybe, I don't know if you were thinking this too, but once we're done treating these four as their own four, right? As their own section, do we want to go back and see if our rankings kind of match with last week or last episode?
I'm not opposed to that. I just don't remember what our rankings last week were.
Probably not rankings, but I guess as I was listening to it, I was really trying to take these four on their own as a set.
Same here.
Yeah. I couldn't stop thinking about those first three records because at different points, it's hard to believe it's the same band.
It's incredible. They showed how malleable they are. Like they can bend and not break. I found that to actually be pretty impressive.
I definitely do too. Yeah. I think there's, and I mentioned this about Humbug, the controversy last episode, if you were not, and by the way, listen to Arctic Monkeys 1. It's good.
Episode, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What album is that? I get you. Yes, please just listen to Know Your Rights. If you're
listening to it now, which likely you are, good job. Keep doing this thing.
You get 2 weeks off, and then you get to listen to us again. It's not that bad.
But if I lost my thought, what are we talking about?
Oh, that's on you, buddy.
If you listen to Arctic Monkeys episode one, I brought this up with Humbug, where I was like, you know, it's hard to not admire them for like so drastically switching their sound between those first two and Humbug. I take it back. Humbug's not even the most impressive version of that.
No, I think I said it as well in Arctic Monkeys one, everybody. And I was quoting a different writer. But it does seem like it was a taste of what's to come. It was a dramatic shift, but it still had that kind of like live four guys in a room playing some music vibe. And they keep it up for the following two albums in my opinion, even though they say on AM, they were focusing on more being a studio band in that.
Which tracks, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. My dumbass didn't realize what AM, like in my mind, I'm thinking AM radio.
And I finally
read the interview where he says it was
VU.
Yeah, the VU from Velvet Underground. And I'm like, oh shit, Arctic Monkeys. Okay. I was thinking a frequency.
I want to say that I knew before you know, it took me a while before I got that it was Arctic Monkeys. And for some reason that bothers me.
That's understandable. Did you figure it out on your own though?
No, I'm pretty sure I had to look it up when I was researching on Wikipedia. That's where I figured out. Okay.
That makes me feel better because I felt like a complete idiot sitting there on the toilet reading the Wikipedia.
Reading the wiki.
The wiki. Please sponsor us still. I'm not giving this up, Wikipedia.
Does Wikipedia I don't think they sponsor.
Can we just put an ad? Like, I'm going to find somebody to email. Can we just put an ad out for Wikipedia?
I just want like a sad Rob face, like up at the top of our podcast page that goes, it'll take you 2 minutes to read this.
I like that.
Know
like
your
that.
Rights will not be bought. I promise. I don't know how you felt. I enjoyed myself a lot more with this set of albums than the first set.
I still have a biasness. I think that's a word, biasness. I still have a bias. Yeah, it's just I have a bias when it comes to the first two albums. Those are just ingrained in my little like memory book. You know, I adore those two albums, but I had a lot more fun than I anticipated because Humbug, I'll just be completely honest, that's my least favorite album out of all their albums. Well,
it's not
in contention. It's in contention with another one.
I almost feel like we'll be there. I'm not so sure. I texted Rob before we recorded today, everybody, and I asked him, I said, is this going to be contentious? Meaning, are we going to see eye to eye in this episode?
And I have told you, I think we're fine.
I think our worst song category is going to tell us. I think
possibly.
That'll be the key.
Possibly. I don't know. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into it, because I don't know how much more we want to add to Arctic Monkeys before
month.
We just start, to AM month. And now Alex Turner, everyone, is going to join. No.
Next February will happen.
Hey there, gents. No, I don't know who that was. That was Alex Turner.
Man, that's a hint into what you have to do for your punishment.
Oh, no. All right, everyone. Best song. Can I just get mine out there?
Sure.
Because I really love this song.
Okay.
Like sometimes I'll be honest, and I'm not going to name any band names. Sometimes I have a best song, and I do believe it's the best song of the band I've heard for that episode. But I don't go back to listen to that song again. Not every time.
I get you.
This one in the shower all week, can't get it out of my head. 4 out of 5.
Sorry, four, buddy. We are not in contention.
Oh my God!
My favorite song.
Okay.
4 out of 5 is incredible. Incredible.
It's incredible. It is like I to me
that's how good it is.
It's the whole thing, the groove. I think everything that they were going for in that record, I don't know if every song does what it's supposed to do all the time.
I can agree with that.
Is like I've used this term before. I think Back to the Leftmore episode talked about this, the thesis statement. That song to me is, it sounds like everything they wanted. And the groove and the vocals and that melody in the verse. Ooh.
Take a minute. 4 stars out of 5. Yeah, I feel really corny saying this, but that song's like, it's sexy. It's got like this, just like, I wish that I had more articulation to express how much I love that song.
The groove of the verse and the vocals help create the groove, which is so cool, right? Mm-hmm. And by the way, I know we've talked about this in the past. If you're trying to practice lyric writing, finding a good melody, try writing lyrics to that melody. It's so much fun. Like, I was just freestyling like in the shower because I don't remember the lyrics all the way through the song anyway.
Yeah,
it's just fun.
It's the ad song for the Tranquility Base Resort and Casino.
Right. And even in light of that, it's so perfectly placed. But then when it hits the chorus and it opens up in that major,
Oh, and just the background vocals coming in too. See, I'm sorry. I have to go na 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 everybody because I can't remember the lyrics exactly as well. And it's the only one that I actually, when listening to it, I read the lyrics. Because I listened to it so many times.
Yeah.
I honestly wish that I could just try to come up with a different one, but it's 4 out of 5. That song's the best song.
It's, I think, of these four, and probably out of the whole 7, it might be my favorite. Out of the whole 7.
It's in contention for me, but adore those first two albums.
I get it.
Nostalgia's winning for me.
It's almost comparing apples and oranges, because like to say that I think my first favorite was View from the Afternoon, right? Mm-hmm. Those bands don't sound similar. I mean,
no,
his vocals change completely. It's like a David Bowie. It's a very good David Bowie impersonate.
Well, we just knocked out best song pretty quick.
All right, I am, and I also I was gonna let this go, but I have to say this. I misunderstood what you said originally when I said 4 out of 5, when you said we are not in contention. For some reason, I read that as the opposite that we were. So that, oh my God, was not me so excited. It was like, how do I defend 4 out of 5 of this?
No.
It's a beautiful thing, ladies and gentlemen. Our friendship is strong.
We'll see.
Let's tear it apart again.
Yeah, let's tear it down.
Go ahead. Give me your worst song.
I want it all. Now, it's in relation to a later category, but that's just, it's really just a strike it from the record, literally, mentality, where it's on an album that I find to be very good, personally. It just, it doesn't fit. It doesn't feel like there was much effort put into it. It's all filler, that song.
It's definitely, and there are more moments on this record, which is, like, I think I mentioned this, not my worst record, where it gives me that very kind of blasé radio rock. And it's, some of it's in the guitar lines. And I saw this, and I can't remember where. I want to say it was Rolling Stone, which would make sense, because Rolling Stone is insane and stupid almost all the time. So I feel like I can say that comfortably.
I'm not going to argue with you.
Rolling Stone should be taken seriously.
I like the band.
Yeah, agreed. They're great. But they, I believe they call this one of the greatest guitar records of the 21st century.
Way to go, Rolling Stone. It's finger on the pulse. Jeez.
I do think that there's moments where they're trying to do a Black Keys impression.
I can kind of see that. I hear a little bit more of the what Alex Turner said. There's a little bit of a Dr. Dre meets, why can't I think, Black Sabbath. I can kind of hear it on certain tunes, not necessarily every single one.
I've always been turned off when, like, rock bands, like, in more or less, right, rock is, feels like such a heavy-handed term to throw around. But I think we can safely call Arctic Monkeys a rock band.
Well, I mean, even for some of their some of the later stuff that we're going to discuss, they still got nominated for, like, alternative album. And, like, that's just because you just lumped the Arctic Monkeys into it. This album is not a rock album.
Yeah. Those last two especially, I get that. Yeah. But whenever, especially for a record like this one, when a rock band says, like, for their new record, and they bring out all the artists they're inspired by, and they start to name, like, hip-hop artists and producers, I'm almost like, it's not going to be that. Don't. Don't. I remember when, oh my God, what is that terrible band? Little Lion Man? Tremble, Little Lion Man.
I don't think I'm familiar.
Wait. Mumford and Sons.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I remember Mumford and Sons saying that their next record was heavily influenced by hip hop. And I was like, nope, we're done.
Don't do it. Just cancel that one. But it's just, I Want It All is, you know what? I'm bringing back an old term that you've used, Colton. It's a nothing burger.
And I think my worst track is, I don't have much to say other than what you're saying. And it feels like we're not being very, like, detailed people, but I think with Arctic Monkeys, maybe you agree with me, Rob. Mm-hmm. When a song doesn't work, it's hardly ever because it, like, falls apart on a songwriting level. I think it's difficult for them to write a terrible song because they're really, they play so tightly with each other, all that. Yeah. But I think it's a creativity level where something in that batch, that song, either just doesn't need to be there.
Yeah, it's one of those, if you have this song that shines so bright, then you have this song that it's like, that'd be good for maybe another band, but based off of what I've seen you create, it gets difficult. You do that comparison thing to where you hear gold come out. It's Weezer all over again, even though I Want It All is not anywhere near as bad as the worst Weezer, to where it's like, man, you were so high up there, you were killing it, and then you literally found, like, the Marianas Trench of songwriting.
And almost like there's something needs to identify itself. Something needs to be the point player, right, in a song. And if it's not going to be the guitar line, it's like a real, it's not an octave, but it is like a really generic.
And it's got that freaking, I can't remember, is it like something glitter, like what the one guy, the da-na-na-na-na. Yeah, it's got that little, like,
right, and, like, in the most generic way. But then the melody is boring, it drones, like, nothing identifies itself. right?
Yeah,
really.
I think that's exactly it. I use the term all the time, but the song never actualizes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with that.
So I kind of hold a grudge because I actually kind of like this album.
Well, mine is not from this record. Mine is from Suck It and See.
Makes sense.
It is Brick by Brick.
I was so nervous that you were going to like that damn song.
No,
I thought for sure you're going to be like, it's really Queens of the Stone Age.
Doesn't it sound like Giddy Up to you?
A little, yeah.
It's got Giddy Up DNA.
Yeah.
In the morning, Giddy Up. That's by the Hives.
Yeah, everybody. That's the Hives. That's not, but yeah. The hold on, let me get another taste of it. I do know the song.
I know. Let's all get another hit of Brick by Brick.
Nope, I've heard enough.
I haven't yet. I was
brick
in an
by
ad.
Brick. Brick by brick. I can't.
I have a theory.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
This is a theory.
Yeah.
On why the last two Arctic Monkeys records have been heavily like piano centered.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you listen to those first three and really those first two Arctic Monkeys records,
mm-hmm.
like I think you're the one who said this before, and I do agree with you. Like I don't think any one of them is just like totally exceptional in their instrument. Mm-hmm. Like which, not by the way, neither am I.
Yeah,
neither.
Nothing wrong with that because they were very creative and well executed.
Right.
Yeah,
but I almost feel like there's a ceiling in some of these riffs, and also that they're trying to be a riff centered band. Like they weren't a riff centered band in their first two records, and that served them well. It wasn't all based off of like the riff, the guitar line that everything else was kind of working through. It was always the interplay of the instruments that worked so well.
More or less, I think that's accurate. It's they had moments to where the riff does carry a song. But
never like, I mean, the classic rock formula, right, is the riff comes in, that's what you're going to hear. And if it's a good one, I mean, Led Zeppelin was a great example, right, where you have one riff and it can be like, wow, okay, I'm in. And then the rest of the song, everything plays off of that and it works, right? There's a groove to it. You can feel very, I don't know, it's compelling because the riff is so strong. I think in these two records, the first two records we looked at for this session, Suck It and See and AM, that's the thing that bothers me about them, is they try to become a riff-centered band, and I don't think that they're meant to be.
Every time you say the album name for their first one, it immediately turns me off. Like I hate the album name Suck It and See. That is the worst album name I've ever ran into. And
in
I know
the UK,
that's
not a dirty thing, right? In the UK, that is a like expression of like, give it a try.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that there's no substance to what I'm saying when it comes to critiquing music.
It's a bad and the worst album art.
Yeah. But Brick by Brick is just, let's bring it back. Nothing Burger. From now on, let's not call it the worst song. Let's call it the Nothing Burger song.
Well, every now and then, it's not a Nothing Burger, and it's really terrible.
That's
Annihilation.
True.
But I will say, I think your song is...
I love making that facial expression.
I can't do it.
It's wonderful.
Your song to me is more of a Nothing Burger. My song, I actually think,
it's
in
just
addition to 2013, the more I listen to it, I don't think you're probably going to get it.
I like 2013, but all right, that's fine. Brick by Brick, that song. I'm not going to contend that.
All right. The contention is we're at a healthy point in the contention meter, everyone.
This episode's word.
That is what happens.
The word of the episode is contentious.
Oh my God. I almost want to sit out underrated because I don't have a good choice. Because my underrated, I kind of don't like.
Okay. Mine's a little difficult because I assume this is going to be your overrated. So I think I was just trying to be like a counterpoint.
Okay. I have to give a little context.
One of us
I
has
don't
to
think
go
this
first.
Is that great of a song. I'll go.
Okay.
I don't think it's that great of a song, but this is one of those songs where after I read the the idea behind it, I went, you know what? As an exercise, okay. I think they did a good job. Like, I get what happened. And it made me reevaluate the song. And in a collection of songs where I had no other one to go with for underrated, this is what I did. And it's Don't Sit Down Because I've Moved Your Chair.
Mm.
And it is silly.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like super silly. But the whole, you know the story behind it?
Remind me.
The producer, I think, of that record, which is...
What, the usual that, one, like, right? Don't they have the same producer for quite a few of them? I think his last name starts with an F, which I'm usually wrong when I say that.
Yeah, James Ford.
Hey, I got something right.
I want to say it was James Ford. I could be wrong about this. But he said, oh, Don't Sit Down Because I Moved Your Chair would be a great, like, classic rock song title. And they decided just to write a song based off of that. It's super silly and not, like, super great. But once I got that and I listened to it, I was like, I get it. It's
he says do the Macarena in it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, don't do business with the grizzly bear. It's pretty dumb.
Yeah.
It's not, like, for the record, and this is the opposite, where underrated doesn't necessarily mean it's a good song.
This is a first. I like it.
But I have to be honest, it made me reassess it, and I was like, you know what? That's great. But also, don't put it on the record after.
Don't sit down because I moved your chair.
That's not bad, though, right? That's pretty
sure.
Take everything else out of that. Not terrible. Sure. And the only thing they didn't write of that song. So there you go.
Okay.
Rob, what's your underrated?
My underrated is, I have two options here, but I'm going to go with Do I Want to Know. The reason I say underrated is because I think there are a lot of Arctic Monkeys fans who are like, that single is whatever. Why is that the biggest hit? I'm like, that's a good tune. I think that song is really good.
And that is definitely, will you agree with me? That riff is very Black Keys-esque.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But I'm not the biggest Black Keys guy. I definitely like some. So I actually appreciate the guy more as a producer anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I think, what's his name, actually? Yeah, you're right. I should not have done that.
Oh, yeah. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. I want to say Dan Auerbach, but I think that's...
That sounds actually close, I think.
I think that's a quarterback. I don't know. Oh, my God. It's Dan Auerbach.
Dan
Auerbach. I got it.
Way to go, dude. I thought it sounded right. But no, with
Roger
song,
Staubach, I'm sorry.
Yeah. but no, that song, I think it's really cool. And I think that there are probably some Arctic Monkey snobs who find that to be it's not as good as the previous stuff. And because it was such a big hit, like it's the only Arctic Monkey song I've actually heard regularly on the radio.
I've never heard it on the radio. I didn't realize how big this one and Are You Mine, right? Those are the two lead singles on AM.
Yeah.
I didn't realize they were so popular. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, that's why people know Arctic Monkeys. Well, I'd never heard them.
Because of my job, I just throw on a particular radio station when I'm transporting certain residents. You know, so I just throw on Bob FM, and that song will come on. And every time it comes on, I just like, okay, that little like... I like it. I think it's got a cool little like sultriness to it, and it's still got like that nice buzz tone. And you know, when it hits that, when it pauses and it's crawling back to I feel it. I think that's a good ass tune. And I know that there are people out there who are contentious when it comes to that that opinion.
So my overrated song is Do I Want to Know?
Colton, you ready for this?
Yeah.
My overrated song
is
Don't Sit Down Because I've Moved a Chair.
And here's the thing. I agree with you.
There is no staging to this. I really want the listener to understand that this happened very naturally.
Totally.
When you said it, I didn't want to give anything away. I was like, okay.
But I will push back gently on Do I Want to Know, but with Don't Sit Down Because I've Moved Your Chair, I get it. Yeah. I'll change if you want, because I promise you I'll never listen to it again. I don't want to listen to it again. If you offered me money, $5, literally $5 to listen to that song again, I wouldn't do it.
I got some advice for you, Colton. Take the $5.
I could earn $5 doing something else. I promise.
Get paid $5 for 5 minutes. It's fine. But
yeah. I think those are the first two tracks on AM, right? I keep saying this, even though it's not my worst record, but I really didn't like AM. I don't know what else to call it. It feels like a sellout record, which is stupid because they were a big band before that.
Hmm.
But it's, to me, the least artistically interesting record of any of theirs. Every song feels like it wants to be a single. And by that, I mean, everybody, it's constructed in a way to be accessible to everyone, which, contrary to popular belief, is to me not compelling or interesting.
That's a tough one for me because I've always had difficulty with that. Is it some tour? Is it supposed to be challenging or is it supposed to just be good? Is there supposed to be like, I need to listen to this a few times before I really understand what they were going for? Or do you just listen to it one time and go like, that was a good dancer?
But don't you agree with me? That first record,
obviously,
that challenges
not,
the listener.
No, yeah.
Well, but it does. It challenges the listener. They're not giving you straight up. They're not Franz Ferdinand on that first record. Like, they definitely dive into dance rock territory, but they're also giving you weird proggy rock breaks and like heavy metal riffs that turn into.
I'm just going to come to the defense of Franz Ferdinand. I think that they also.
I love Franz Ferdinand.
Well, then why do you simplify him so much?
Well, they are a far more dance rock rep. Whatever, man. By the way, if someone's listening to this who's like a huge Franz Ferdinand fan in 2024, like ride or die, God bless you. I don't have anything bad to say about you.
I mean, I like two songs by him. I'm sure I like more, but I'm really only familiar with two songs by him.
There are definitely bands where I've only heard two songs and I don't want to listen to more, but I also have like a good opinion of like, nothing wrong with
that. That's not a bad idea for an episode. We'll just we'll do that one of these days.
Oh Lord. Anyway, yeah, I don't have much more about Do I Want to Know. I think Are You Mine is probably, because I do like that riff on Do I Want to Know. Are You Mine is probably the worst of the two for me.
I agree, but Are You Mine is, I actually still find that to be a pretty good song. I'm giving a lot of things away here.
It feels like you are. All right. So, worst album?
Suck It and See.
Did we go there? Yeah, Suck It and See,
it's
right?
Suck It and See. It's not that every song is bad. I hate to say this for an entire album.
Can we say it at the same time? See if we have the same adjective. 3, 2, 1.
Nothing.
Boring.
Close enough.
It was super boring.
Yeah, I'm looking at them and some of them are okay.
I get the love for, there is one track I get the love for, and that's the closer. That's Where You're Wrong.
Yeah, I think that's an okay tune.
It's pretty.
She's Thunderstorms. Right when it starts, I think of Green Day, American Idiot. It feels like it fits into that album.
Yeah, and not in a good way.
And kind of, this is something that I kind of get upset with the Arctic Monkeys on these four albums, is it doesn't feel like they're being themselves. They are trying their hardest to not be themselves. And that's, again, the bias of the first two albums. But it just feels like they're doing everything in their power to not be that.
It has a... And this is coming from someone who did not enjoy their second record, right? Favorite Worst Nightmare. Mm-hmm. But what I do appreciate in those first two is it's such a stamp of themselves.
Yeah.
That Suck It and See feels like it is... Like, one of my least favorite is, like, the band that is trying to attain this kind of retro rock feel in, like, a given year. When it's obviously so performed and like I'm kind of eye-rolly about it. It's hard not to be. And
I know we need to find a way to get this image for the listeners who may follow us on Instagram. We got to find a way to get an image of Colton and his eye roll. It's a staple of this show to me, but nobody gets to see it.
I just remember meeting people like that when you're playing shows where like everything about them is like ripped from the 1970s. And the thing is, I like quote unquote older music. Saying 70s is older music feels weird because it wasn't that long ago. But I like a lot of artists, but there's always something a bit disingenuous about it because it's almost like they're so purposely stuck in a past, and that makes everything they want to say feel maybe a little less important. I don't know. But the Arctic Monkeys have important things to say.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I think we both can agree on this. Alex Turner is a really good lyricist.
Yeah. And by the way, their last two records also, right, have a produced feel to it to feel older, but it matches what the overall, like the feel, the vibe, the message they're trying to get out, and it's still something that feels relevant.
I agree with that, and we'll definitely get into it. But I just to try not to be too mean to suck it and see.
And when we refer to it by the name,
The name might have been the first indicator. And it's like, I'm not gonna like this. But you're right, you're right. It is just my mind in the gutter. It's the with your hands between your thighs type of scenario.
I stand by my reading of that.
I stand by my rating on that too, but
Is there another track I should look to? I don't know.
I'm remembering the Hellcat Spangled Sha-la-la-la-la. I liked Piledriver Waltz was okay, but yeah, for the most part, it's just out of these four, out of these seven, it's Humbug and this. I know you like Humbug. I don't mean it as an insult. I'm just saying for
No, but
me personally.
I get you. And I think that they came back to back too. That's a slog, right? Like, and I even agree with that. To have them, they're really at the same energy. And this is not even about the song, but as anyone, do you know what a treacle tart is? What treacle?
No.
The black treacle.
Of course I
It
don't.
is a, if you watch everybody, British Bake Off, Great British Bake Off on Netflix, which
Oh, this
I
is
watch
a
a lot of,
okay, this is more of a national thing
it's
that
a thick, sticky, dark syrup made from partly refined sugar and molasses. And what I believe, and anyone from the UK wants to correct me, a treacle tart, which is what they had to make in Bake Off, is like they take molasses, sugar, and like stale bread, and they kind of mold it up, and it becomes like this kind of sweet, sticky substance. It looks so gross.
When the chef hands it to you, you go like, "Is this any good?" And he goes, "Suck it and see."
That's exactly what they would say. We're a worldly podcast.
That's
We
right.
adopt all
We're
sorts of
very
phrases.
cultured, everybody. I don't know if you
Yeah.
could tell.
So, man, we're actually way more in agreement than I thought we would
I
be. I think
told
that's
you,
about
man.
to end.
Not necessarily.
All right.
I told you I was being a little, what was the word we were using?
You're
I was
gaslighting.
gaslighting you.
You're gaslighting. My best album. Should I go? Should you go? I don't know. I'll go.
Yeah, you go ahead.
The Car.
Wow.
Yeah, I love The Car.
A really good album.
I think it's their best. I actually think it's the best album they've made.
Wow, man. Actually, you kind of ruined everything I had prepared for this episode. Okay. Yeah, no, the car is a really good album. Speak more to it, 'cause it's definitely my least listened to out of all of them, but I did listen to it about three times.
This before, here's the thing, before you and I had even had an idea to do Arctic Monkeys, this is the album that I more or less knew them for. Because
I
when
think,
this,
based off of what you're saying, this is the album that made us do a month of the Arctic Monkeys.
more, yeah, because I kept mentioning The Car to you, and I was expecting to listen to another one of these records and go, well, it's not The Car anymore. And Tranquility Base, Casino and Hotel was very close. And those two are kind of sibling records to me,
Oh,
right? They're
they
both
definitely
piano
are.
centered.
I think
Yeah.
he even said that like there's a little bit of like a closure, even though The Car is not a concept album. He kind of said there was a little bit of a closure to what was started on Tranquility Base.
And to me, it's where they perfect what they were going for in Tranquility. And I really do like Tranquility. Again, 4 out of 5 to me is exceptional, as are others. But when you listen to There Better Be a Mirror Ball, that opening,
That song was almost going to be my favorite song.
that was my second.
See, not too much contention.
Yeah, and it
Word
really
of the
was
episode.
a, I either choose one from Tranquility and then best record The Car, or one from The Car, best record Tranquility. That was like the way I averaged it out of my brain. And the done,
Oh, it's
done.
so cinematic. Almost every element of the album, there's like just something where I'm like, I've heard this in a movie, I've heard this on a television show. But yeah, the opening, just like you said, for There Better Be a Mirror Ball.
And
And then
I
when
have to bring this out. The and I've said something last episode about drummer, about how there were some maybe overstepping in certain points in the early records. That beat on There Better Be a Mirror Ball, where he is kind of holding off on the ride cymbal when he hits the snare and that ride stops. It's so amazing because when you think about drums, like with other instruments, the idea of space makes more sense. And drums is a constant, right? That's the rhythm. He doesn't treat the drum beat in that song as a constant. It's kind of, it gives so much space to other things. And in fact, other times it's just, there's just so much quiet in that song. And it's so beautiful when the ride holds off and you can almost, it's so beautiful to try to like follow it and see when he stops that ride. Yeah. That's the first thing I heard from them where I was like, oh my God, that's cool.
Yeah. And I feel really bad. I forget his name every time, but he's a really good drummer and a really thoughtful drummer.
Yeah. Matt Helders.
Yeah. Matt Helders. I have nothing but respect for him. Like, he's a songwriting drummer. He's not just a drummer. He understands that it's like we're trying to create a tune and drums are just one element of it. It's a very important element, but he knows how to utilize it just right. I'm really stunned by it. Yeah, the car is really good. Big Ideas is really good.
That, oh my God. Is that a wait, I gotta look at my track listing here. I ain't quite where I think I am. Mm-hmm. That riff is great. There's so much groove in this record. And then that and I thought you would be proud of me because I've heard this on more than enough reviews. People say this is like their tribute to the Beatles' White Album. What I've heard.
There was a song by them that I was like, oh, they're definitely going for Beatles tones, but that is not on this album.
Mm-hmm.
But
Body Paint.
Yeah, Body Paint is. Jet Skis on the Moat is a good tune.
I mean, here's
it's
the thing.
It's a really good album.
This is one of those deals where when I listen to like Tranquility or even older records, I think there are better songs on other records rather just like one singular fire track that's like, yes, that's great. I think this is where I think the majority of the Arctic Monkeys fan base, I didn't know this. This is not like a completely hated record, but from what I have seen, most Arctic Monkeys fans think of this record as like, why? Oh my God, this is awful.
It's the Arctic Monkey faithful. Because like when you listen to this album, it is so opposite from their initial raw stage.
Right.
You know? And it's like they made their name based off of this just aggressive approach. I know that I'm wrong in thinking this, but I almost want this album to be under a different band name.
We've said this about other bands, right?
Yeah.
I know I contradict myself all the time, right? I can't stop that.
I try to bring it out of you.
I love, and like, this is the journey that they've gone through in seven records, yeah, where if we go from whatever people say, and that's what I'm not, to this, and if you told me that's the same band in a span of, I don't know how long it's been, like 15 so years, I'm just
guessing.
That's
a good question, yeah.
I'm throwing, almost 20, I want to say.
Yeah, it sounds about right. We don't need to research that one. They've been together for a while.
I just think that's cool, man.
I agree.
And they're not old dudes. They are about our age, and that record, the car... It's a weary record. They're so tired, but it's really compelling. It's interesting, right, what they're doing
for
with
sure.
It. And I've heard criticisms that, oh, no track is really standout. I think Second and See is a worse version of that, right? Distorted guitar, I'm sick of it.
I get what you're saying. Definitely like toward they kind of maybe at that point it was ad nauseum. But I can still understand the perspective that some like I said, the old school Arctic Monkeys fans listening to the car, I'm like, if you are really into that sound, this is not going to necessarily be the album for you. You got to have some maturity. You have to have some sort of a certain set of ears to
this
understand.
This is the meanest thing I've ever said on this podcast.
I wasn't going to say it, but you go ahead.
This is the meanest thing I've ever said. This is
probably
not what I told
not.
You.
Probably
I don't want
not.
That to be said. But what I'm thinking right now, when I hear people who are like Arctic Monkeys fans from like earlier records and they go, the car, oh, that sucks. My only thought is grow up.
It's not the meanest thing you said, but it's a great thing to say. I completely agree.
This is why we can't have nice things. It's I think it's extraordinary.
I definitely agree with you, but now you have me in a tough spot. My assumption was your favorite record was going to be a particular record, so I wasn't going to choose it, and I was going to go with what I tried to introduce in the early episodes, the underrated album.
Interesting.
I was going to go with AM. I think that is actually a very good album, even though I'm stunned that Pharrell Williams has no fingerprint on that album. With the amount of falsettos that occur on that, I couldn't believe that none of them were Pharrell.
Pharrell is also stunned.
Yeah,
he's not on that record.
We just covered so many artists where Pharrell somehow is just like, and he shows up. And so I was very stunned by that. And also, I was going to say, like, that album is like the rest in peace, the way Alex Turner sings. That's the last time you hear him sing that way.
Yeah.
But all right, I thought for sure it was going to be, we were going to be in complete agreement on what the best record is, but it is the moon, the 1969 moon landing spot resort and casino.
Tranquility
Base
Hotel and Casino.
Hotel and Casino, yeah. Album's incredible. The album's so good.
It's very good.
And yeah, if any Arctic Monkeys fan, I would probably say the exact same thing. If they're going like, it's not the Arctic Monkeys, I would say grow up. Listen to this album and understand that what they're doing is both ambitious, sincere. It's a concept album that I think is a really good concept album without being like too up its own ass concept album.
That's a great way of putting that, by the way. There is also, like, as a concept record, not even just necessarily as a story, but as a vibe.
Yeah.
Right. They assemble everything that works towards that in such a perfect way.
I don't know if it's a theremin. I'm not exactly sure which instrument they use for it, but it gives the clear, like, oh, we're in space, but without being like really corny, we're in space.
It's, I'm looking at their, all the different instruments that they have on the credits. There's a harpsichord, which might be part of it. Dulciola. No, it's such, the drums on that record sound amazing. Yeah. By the way, the production on the drums are like, oh.
Well, and they do that. They do that Wallace sound made famous by I can't remember his name, the murdering producer.
Mm-hmm. I think that's enough for him. Yeah,
there you go.
The guy exactly. who murdered somebody. And we've mentioned Alex Turner is a lyricist, right? Funny mm-hmm. enough, like even like with the car, like I think there are great lyrics and stuff in the car, but I also with the car, the reason I'm so in love with it is way more about the music than the lyrics, right?
Yeah.
Not even as a dig at the lyrics at all.
No.
But what I love, the opening of Hotel, oh my God.
It's a tough album name to say. Just
Let's just say Tranquility, I guess.
Sounds good.
Yeah. In Star Treatment, it says, I just wanted to be one of the Strokes. And he's even said, like, that's such a blunt, honest lyric.
It was very true. And that song, I believe, is supposed to be written from kind of the lounge singer from the Martini Police.
Right.
You know, and that's... Yeah, which is, I completely agree. Let's start a band. Cool. Martini Police. But no, and I like that about the entire album is it's like the narrator changes. The person who is speaking is changes from track to track. I think that's what we meant by, or what I meant by it's not so down its nose, you know, of a concept album. It's
when concept records get so bogged down in the narrative,
mm-hmm.
that's, I think we both agree, that's where it's like, what are we doing? Like, no one really, and if you really care about the narrative, like, what does that do? What is this? I don't know what to tell you, man. Read a book. Books are great. They have narratives there for you to read.
You know what? That I think to be as non-contentious, word of the episode, everybody, as we can be, Colton, I completely agree with you. Books are great. Books are great.
I'm almost disappointed. I was ready for us to go to war because I was like, man, I feel like.
Here's the thing that warms my soul. I was in your head.
In my head. These last 2 weeks, people.
These last 2 weeks, I was really just.
What did I say? I said something to the effect of, I don't think I mentioned 4 out of 5. I just said, man, Tranquility is great. And you said, the music is good.
I know. I did. That was absolutely gaslighting. Absolutely trying to get
awful.
I know. I'm sorry. Maybe I shouldn't do that, but it was fun.
So can I check in with you? I mentioned this when we started the second segment. When it comes to all seven as a whole,
mm-hmm.
were you at, you mentioned to me that Humbug and Suck It and See are pretty much neck and neck for worst.
Yeah.
We don't have to go there, but, and probably Suck It and See is the worst for me.
Understandable.
Favorite Worst Nightmare is well above it, right? And I would actually say it might be close to AM, might be above AM for me.
That does actually make me feel good.
Yeah. Because I didn't hate really any of this, minus the things I said I hated in this episode. I didn't hate, like, even Favorite Worst Nightmare. I think in those first three, to me, it stood out as the least new of anything. But when I listen to these back four, I think it is more in the middle of their discography than towards the bottom.
Yeah.
I didn't like AM as much as you did.
It felt like the album that was supposed to follow up your Favorite Worst Nightmare. That's what I felt was supposed to. And obviously, I mean, that's, what does that mean? It feels to me like that would have been a better, you know, timeline for it to go down, but it's whatever, mm-hmm. man, whatever is linear to me is not linear to them.
But my guess is that for you, the debut record where people say I'm that's what I'm not, that's still at the top for you.
What a gamble you had there. Yes, of course. That is the.
I'm glad that's the one I got you on vinyl, which.
Yeah, you nailed
why it. We're here.
You know, it's exactly why we're here. I chose it, but you technically kind of sparked it. But
ooh, if I got you, talk about Monkey's Paw. That's our other word of the phrase of the day. That would be the ultimate Christmas.
Here's the
gift,
thing:
is Humbug on vinyl.
If I'm really thinking about it, Humbug is better than Suck It and See.
If I was going to reconfigure everything, and that sounds exhausting, I'm not going to do it. Ranking these out of one out of seven, I have better things to do with my life. Other people do too. But for sure, the car, Tranquility, I think whatever people say, those three to me kind of float around each other. Because comparing them feels crazy. They're so different. But
here's the contention you were anticipating. My favorite album by them, their first album. Your favorite album by them, their last album. Possibly their last album. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to put that on the world. It's all conjecture.
Last released. Yeah. And whatever they do, like, I'm interested, right? I definitely am. I don't know. Calling myself a fan of people now feels kind of silly. Feels a little bit like I'm a fan. Not with that. But I'm interested.
Did you listen to any of his side project?
I have not. No.
I can't even remember what they're called.
Is it not Alex Turner and the Turners? I made that up. That's I don't know brilliant. Why I said that.
For anybody who wants to know what the name of his side project is, look it up yourself. We're not doing it right now.
And he is related, everyone, to pro baseball player Justin Turner, which I didn't know that.
We're really off the rails now. I may actually cut that out. We'll see.
That was great. That was so good. You know all of your bad dad jokes. You knew that was a good one.
I did. And I'm Dodgered out, so I get it.
So do we do a rating for just these four, or do we do a more universal rating?
I don't know. You guys tell us in our email.
Yeah.
Which is no.your.writes.podcast.
How do you spell rights?
I just did. Every time, man. I include it. We threw all our regulars off.
We're trying to give you all the hits. We apologize. This is what happens when we do a two-parter.
You guys can email us all you want, whether or not we should do it one way or the other. But I say we do it for these four albums, and then everybody find the mean.
Find the mean if you want. I think I did a 6.5 in the first three.
Mm-hmm.
This one's weird because I don't really like those first two, and I really love the last two, which... If I was doing an average, that would be 5 out of 10. But I don't hate the first two, and I really love the last two, including the car, which I want to go back to. I want that one on vinyl because that is like a sit after work with a martini. I don't drink martinis.
Are you trying to suggest that I buy you that for Christmas?
No, I don't want it.
Your birthday's coming up too.
Oh my God.
Technically, on this episode. Like when this comes out, your birthday is coming. Like it's
that
right,
is true.
Right,
I'm depressed. Lord, 7 out of 10. It's a 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10.
And I'm going to go ahead and say it. My global Arctic Monkeys now is 7 out of 10.
Not bad, not bad. And I like your approach on how we rate it. I was going to be really stubborn when we first started doing this because I was that Arctic Monkey fan who needed to grow up, and I did fairly quickly. But I think I can just universally say what I said last time. 7.5. I'm giving them a 7.5. So it's overall and for these four.
Yeah.
They're a really good band. And like I said, I love the fact that they were able to be an artist that can have such drastic shifts in what you're creating. And for me to not get disgusted by it, you're doing something right.
We're reaching the end here. I did just notice something. The Grammys are happening February 4th, and I believe this episode is going out.
Are we reigniting our not caring about the Grammys?
I wanted to do a quick PSA to everybody, which is don't care about the Grammys.
No. Don't care about the Emmys. Don't care about the freaking Oscars. The Oscars, I guess, is kind of fun.
You can have fun with any of them. Like, who are we to tell you what to not have fun with? But don't care. In a true, true way.
If you really care, here's what I want to do. Let's start a petition to bring back the MTV VMAs.
They don't have those anymore?
I don't know. I assume they didn't.
I think they do.
I assume they didn't.
I think they do.
When was the last time MTV had music videos on?
Let's bring back the MTV Movie Awards. That's what I want.
There you go.
That was...
Email us.
Yeah, email. Just email us.
Just, that's all. We're just begging for it.
When it comes to making the goings-on of the world entertaining, we got you covered. The Chit Show is a news, pop culture, geek culture, and music podcast hosted by none other than Danny, a.k.a. Danko, and me, Leo, a.k.a. DJ Brute. Tune in as we cover all sorts of topics with a very opinionated and wild twist. The Chit Show Podcast, where chit chat and shit shows come together for your entertainment. Tune in on your favorite streaming platforms with new episodes dropping every other Monday. Again, that's The Chit Show, a Baseblown Entertainment Podcast.
Good Lord. Now I get to tell you. Well, do you want to give me my punishment first and then I give you my...
I do.
All right, hit me with it. Everyone, as a reminder, this is because more people chose Rob's Christmas draft playlist than mine.
Just
it was
one
very
person.
Close.
It was a tie. And
a decide out of one vote.
Yeah.
That's a ratio of 2-1. A ratio of 2-1.
So basically, I want to do a next episode. You don't have to do it next episode. We can find our time for it. Mm-hmm. But at any given moment, I will say the Lakers are better than the Warriors. And when I say that, you have to step aside and let Lucky or Santa, and who's our other guy?
Oh, Johnny Addict.
Yeah, Joey Addict.
Joey Addict, who is the main character of the 13th Step concept.
And maybe,
right?
And maybe James Keener. When I say it, you have to step aside and let them speak on your behalf.
I like that. Can I amend something?
No.
I think it's anytime you use the word lucky, I should do.
No. Lakers are better than the Warriors. There's punishment in this.
I mean, the thing is, I also agree with that sentiment that they are at this given moment.
But I mean, we're not that much better.
I'm ready to do this. I've been working on my accent work. I'm ready to go. Not that
I don't know what you're talking
about.
Yeah,
because
you literally just stop talking and let these other guys come in. Lucky.
When you brought that up,
what do you think? The Lakers are better than the Warriors. I think it's a great idea. I've been wanting to have more airtime, but you guys keep me on the sideline. What about you, Santa? This is going to be a blast. This is going to be so much fun. I love it.
All right. So I almost don't think this is going to work because I know our next band. I don't think that you know this band. And I think if you know them, you know them very...
That means I'm in for another 2 weeks of having to...
Three
records. God bless you. All right.
And it's the only three they've made.
How unknown are they?
They are. I'll give you another hint. They're sisters. Three sisters. And the band name is based on their last name.
Okay. It's not Dixie Chicks.
No. Otherwise, it's known as the Chicks.
Well, they did change it.
It's okay. So it's a sisters band. Three of them. Their last name is the name of the band. They've opened for Taylor Swift. Twice. And Julian Casablancas, that's his name, from The Strokes. They've opened for him, too. I don't think any of this is helping you.
No. Ruined.
Well, this is not fair to you because I don't even think you're aware of them. So
that's
the lead singer of the three played in Jenny Lewis's backing band for a while.
Who's not Jenny Lewis?
Rilo Kiley. Never mind.
Is that Star Wars?
None of this is helping.
Is that Star Wars?
No. None of this is helping, Rob.
Yeah, give me another hint. We'll do one last hint and then
Hint. Okay. Their latest lead single is The Steps. Nothing.
All right. I'll ask you. I'm going to ask you for a very specific hint.
Okay.
What's their last name?
They're called Haim. H-A-I-M.
I have heard the name. I have zero expectations. I have no idea.
I don't want to overstep here. I really think you're going to enjoy yourself.
All right, cool. I'd be stunned if I don't like something.
I'm excited to talk about Haim with you. And unfortunately, it means a lot of friends are going to join us next episode when we talk about Haim.
Yes, they are.
I would respect that my colleague wouldn't overindulge in allowing other people. People still want to hear the voice.
Sure. Pretty convinced that people want to hear the other voices a little bit more.
I'm
pretty confident.
I think I'm the one who looks at our listen totals for all episodes. I guarantee you they don't.
I don't know what you're talking about. We got tons of listeners.
You can see a dip for sure. But everybody, enjoy yourself. We hope that you've enjoyed the Arctic Monkeys. Thank you, the Arctic Monkeys, for not joining us for two episodes.
It would have been really awkward.
Have a great 2 weeks. Don't watch the Grammys.
And if you want to, just don't take it too seriously.